Well, hey there, this is Jazzy. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Modern Hippie Radio. This is my opportunity to speak with some of the most interesting, cool eco peeps making waves in green business and sustainability. Today, I have the awesome opportunity to speak with someone that I believe is an awesome eco all-star. We're going to be speaking with Star Vartan. She is the founder and editor-in-chief of Eco Chick. She's also the author of the Eco Chick Guide to Life. I am super excited because she is one of my many, many people that I look up to in the eco world. So we're going to learn all about Ms. Star, what she's doing, what she has going on, and we're going to talk a bit about her book as well. So stay tuned. I have been following you for quite some time. Of course, I've only been in the world of eco-conscious sustainability for a few years, and your name is one of the first that comes up when you're doing research about, you know, who's making waves and who's doing what. And of course, I came across your book, The Eco Chick Guide to Life, and that's so freaking catchy. You can't help but want to learn more about it. But for any of my listeners or readers who aren't familiar with you, and I can't imagine that they wouldn't be, but give us a little bit of an understanding of who you are and what you do and what we want to know about you.
Sure. Well, I've been a professional blogger, a pro blogger, for about 6 years now. Before that, I did some work in the animal rights community. I worked in with HBO and CBS doing some treatments for TV miniseries that were about environmental and scientifically oriented topics. And I also edited a kids' classroom magazine called Current Events that some people who have had that in their classrooms will be like, oh, my God, and everybody else will be like, I've never heard of that. So it's I've done a few different things over the years, and during the time that I was doing those other jobs, I was freelance writing, doing a lot of coverage of, I did a food column in Connecticut where I was on just great local eateries and sort of what they specialized in. And I started my blog about 5.5 years ago, a little bit right after, it was about, I think, 8 or 9 months after Tree Hugger started. Mm-hmm. And my sort of idea behind it was that I thought that Tree Hugger was so cool and I was so interested in it because I'd always been interested in the environment. I've been writing since 2002 for ED Environmental Magazine. That's where I got my start. And I also have written for, you know, Audubon Magazine. I had a column there for a while. And when I first started going online was actually in 2002, and I was a political blogger for 2 years.
Wow.
On a young upstart site called JakeNeck, and I was the only woman on there who posted regularly. And it was a very left-leaning site at the time. People came on and called us conspiracy theorists and all sorts of crazy names. And interestingly enough, most of the things that we talked about there have come out to be completely true, which was an interesting education as a very, you know, as a young person. I was, I think, 23, 24 at the time when I started political blogging, that, you know, I didn't even know if some of these things were true, but the evidence looked good, and, you know, the New York Times would report other things, and we would be confused, and, you know, and then literally years and years later, things would come out, like the election machines, you know, by Diebold being problematic, and mm-hmm. weapons of mass destruction story not being what we were told in the beginning. And, you know, some of those things are still coming out now. And I'm like, oh, I wrote about this in 2003.
Wow, right.
So it was a really good education for me as a young person as to the power of, you know, online media and having a voice. And the thing that caught me then, and then also when Tree Hugger started, a few years later, was the lack of women's voices. And mm-hmm. I thought that, you know, just because I was comfortable sort of battling it out with a bunch of guys didn't mean that most women were, and that women needed a place where they felt safe and comfortable and secure, where they could both speak their voices and then also read what other women had to say. So I started Eco Chick because the environment's always been my passion. I saw the Tree Hugger was this great resource. At the time, it was very peak oil. It was very you know, oriented towards car stuff and real guy topics, typically guy topics. I found a lot of that stuff very interesting, but a lot of women didn't. And there were so many things happening, too, with, you know, eco fashion and products that had been changing over the years and becoming so much better. And all this information was coming across my desk as a writer for E! Magazine, and that only publishes every other month. You can only put so much in a magazine. So I thought that, you know, starting a blog would be the way to go. So I was the first women's environmental lifestyle site.
Now, you mentioned that the environment and sustainability has always been a passion of yours. However, I see that you have a degree in geology and journalism. Is that correct?
No, actually, my undergraduate degree is in I have a BS in geology and a BA just in English.
Wow, and then so early after doing that, you went on to serve as an environmental scientist, and this is before you actually started doing any writing.
Yeah, for about 3 months, I was hired as an environmental scientist. I feel terrible to this day. They spent money training me and sending me to hazmat training and all that stuff, but it only lasted, I think it was exactly 3 months, and I turned in my resignation notice very dramatically and said that I was supposed to be a writer to the secretary and ran out the door.
Well, you know, though, I find that that's kind of unique in the world of blogging. I think the last time I looked at statistics, there were just under 10 million blogs that are current right now. And a lot of them are you know, based on fashion, and quite a bit of them on eco-fashion. But so many just kind of stumbled into it because it was something they may have had an interest in, or a cause that they stumbled upon. But this is something that's been a part of your life from the very beginning, even before blogging was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was raised by a very environmentally oriented family, and in a place that where everyone had a real consciousness about that in New York's Hudson Valley. And so to me, it seemed very normal. And in fact, you know, most of my friends that I've grown up with have gone into environmental or social cause related work as adults. And I don't think it's coincidental to the time. I think it's because we grew up in this very special place where, you know, everybody was really into environmental education. You know, there was a lot of vegetarian food. We, you know, my family ate meat, but the cows came from down the road from Saunders Farm. Mm. Everyone's, you know, either had chickens or neighbors had chickens, so we always had fresh eggs. My grandmother thought, you know, any eggs older than 3 or 4 days, you know, we just use those for baking. You don't want to eat those.
Yeah.
They're old. You know what I mean? And then we had a huge organic garden in, you know, all through the summer. And my grandmother canned and also preserved a lot of foods. And so did a lot of our neighbors. So I grew up eating and living in this way that to me seemed very normal. You know how when you're a kid, you think the way you grow up is like the way everybody grows up, and, you know, dirt roads and riding your bike. And luckily, too, it was only an hour from Manhattan. So you get on the train, and we got to go down. So it wasn't like we were stuck in, you know, a small town without any cultural resources. There's, you know, all of amazing New York's museums and concerts and shows to go see, which we took advantage of pretty regularly. So it was definitely a combination of, you know, my family's interests in environmental protection. My uncle's an arborist. My father's a lifelong surfer. So it's sort of like the trees and the ocean. And then my grandmother was a real animal person. So that combination really, you know, just made me who I am. I don't know how I could necessarily be any way else. I didn't sort of find environmentalism later on, which, you know, I have several friends who've done that and work in the environmental field, and it's really, their stories are really cool to hear. It was just sort of thrust upon me ever since I can remember.
Wow. So how did you, or talk to me about the leap from journalism, blogging, to writing a book? How did that happen?
Well, the story is a little fairy tale. I actually had been publishing my blog for about 2 years, and I'd been writing for E! Magazine for several years, pretty much almost, you know, every issue, and I'd done a cover story for them on women in the third world, and I'd done a lot of their green living topics in the back of the magazine. And so an editor who'd been a former editor who had become an agent had been reading it, and she was already a fan of the magazine, and then saw under my tagline that I published this blog, and she called me and she said, you know, do you have any book ideas? And I had no book ideas, but I said, yes, of course I have book ideas. And so between the time that I spoke with her first and then when I met with her, I came up with a few book ideas based on my site. And so it kind of just snowballed from there. It was definitely like a right time, right place kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I was doing this work, you know, a little bit before other people were. And so when the, you know, public started picking up on it and becoming interested, I was ready to go. So I was between my first and second years of grad school at Columbia, and so I had to write the book in 4 months. But
wow.
I've been writing about this stuff for so long that I was able to just sit down and literally write about 60-70% of the book just from my own knowledge, which was really cool because I realized how much I did know. And then, you know, obviously had to do a bunch of research for other parts of it and areas that I didn't know quite as well. But it came together pretty quickly and, you know, got sent off to the publishers, and it was very quick.
My goodness. And so leap forward a few years, you're now spending your time between EcoChick, which is your own blog. You're the editor mm-hmm. for Coco Eco Magazine. You're also writing for Inhabitat. You do some things for MNN.com. I mean, good Lord, girl, do you have any downtime at all?
Well, I do. You know, it's the life of a freelance writer to, you know, you take on a bunch of different projects. I'm just correct. I'm editor at large for Coco Eco because Anna Griffin is the editor of the magazine, and she does an amazing job.
Wow.
So I and I'm actually in the midst of literally, and it would have sort of happened already if I hadn't been so ill recently, but I'm launching EcoChick Escapes, which is a companion site to my site, mm-hmm. EcoChick, and it's going to be all about eco-travel for young women, and I'm
really
super excited about it.
Wow, that is awesome and a really good idea.
there's some great eco-travel information out there. Nothing that I've found, and I could be totally wrong about this, that is specifically, you know, oriented towards young women, which was mm-hmm. how I started EcoChick. And I personally love to travel. It's something I know a ton about. Half my family is actually in Sydney, Australia, and then my other half of my family is in New York. And so I have spent a lot of time in my life going back and forth since I was a kid and many places in between. And both sides of my family love to travel. So mm-hmm. I meet my dad in, you know, Northern Africa or in Europe. And it's something that we all enjoy tremendously. There's like one stick in the mud in my whole family. It's my uncle who he's a very spiritual guy and thinks that you don't need to go anywhere to learn important things about yourself, which he's probably right about. But I love to travel, so you know, it's definitely another part of, you know, my life for my family. And I just think that it could be a really great resource for other people who like to travel. I feel like people have really been home a lot due to the mm-hmm. economy. Post September 11th, I think people are ready to go out and see the beautiful world that we're a part of.
Now, also, will there be information there, say, for a girl's weekend escape or something like that? Because, you know, you see those advertised on different travel sites, but definitely none that are geared towards eco-friendly destinations or accommodations.
Yeah, exactly. I'm definitely aiming this towards solo women travelers. I'd really like to encourage more women to get out there and travel on their own. It's something I've done quite a bit. I've traveled with my family. I've traveled with boyfriends. And you have a very different experience when you travel by yourself. So I really want to do some encouragement of that. And also, you know, women, you know, moms and daughters traveling together or, you know, girlfriends or sisters or whomever, for trips that are sort of oriented towards them. And then I'll do a little bit on, there's going to be some crossover with, like, honeymoon or stuff that you would want to take as a couple. But mostly it's going to be oriented towards, you know, places. I feel like a lot of women are afraid, or they say, you know, I had the experience of having two different friends of mine be like, oh, I didn't even use my, you know, vacation days this year. I'm waiting for a boyfriend to go travel. And I just come back from, you know, spending 6 months going to Australia and living off grid in Hawaii and all this fun stuff. And I was like, you're crazy. I'm like, there's so many amazing places to go. Some places you have to be more cautious, you know, but for the most part, I've been to Morocco by myself, and it was fine. I've never had an issue, you know, like, I really want to communicate that to more women. So that's part of my goal here is not only, you know, thinking about the eco-friendly options, absolutely, and also encouraging women to get out there and living their own lives.
Well, it seems like it definitely is something that is needed. I know it's going to be awesome. If it's anything like any everything else you've done, it will definitely be a success. So I look forward to seeing that, and hopefully you'll keep me up to date as to when that officially launches.
Definitely.
So I know that you're often quoted in, being a green expert, and you've seen so many things happen over the years since you first began. Talk to me about some of the changes, positive and negative, that you've seen in the world of, be it eco fashion, eco beauty, or just in being eco conscious since the time that you began.
Well, it's interesting. There's a story that I tell to as many people as I can, which is that when I first started writing about environmental topics, I remember turning to my boyfriend. I think I actually even sent him an email, and a couple of our friends, because the New York Times had run three environmentally oriented stories in a month. And I don't know which month it was. I think it was like the fall of 2002. And I was like, I can't believe this. Look at this. There are three stories. I mean, this is getting to be something that people really care about. You know? And I was like, this was including the science section, including the front page business, whatever. There were, and this was literally an email I sent, or, a conversation that I had with a few people, because it stuck out in my mind at the time. So I was really excited about it. I was like, we're moving forward, That difference between that and, 9 years later, is tremendous. I mean, the New York Times has a blog dedicated to that area. There's, thousands of blogs. Every major, news station, from CNN to, your local newspapers, covering environmental stories. That has to do with everything from global warming to how to deal with, pesky geese to, animals in other places, invasive creatures, everything. I mean, it's just a topic that's part of the regular news cycle now. It's no longer, just subject to being covered in environmental magazines or in specialized spaces. That's tremendous. The second thing is that when I started growing up, I used, and my family used, pretty much all natural products. We used like Nature's Gate and their Dr. Bronner's and things like that, which we thought were fine, but a lot of people thought were like too hokey and hippie and all that stuff. And so I think there's been a little bit of a convergence, because a lot of people who would have thought that before actually use those products now and think they're fine. But there's also been the rise of a lot of products at every step in between, the Dr. Bronner's plain and simple. You can like literally, bathe in a stream and use it because it's not going to hurt anything, to, your most toxic products. Now people can say, oh, I've been using this really toxic thing for the last 25 years, but I can use this slightly less toxic thing, and it's not so scary, and it's not such a big change, and I can do this. And so I don't, there's certain, overlap products that people in our community often are, called greenwashing, and, they are to an extent, but they're also important stepping stones for people who would just, no, I mean, that's too extreme, that, Dr. Bronner's, it's, comes in a weird bottle, and, you're supposed to use it for your hair and your body. That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? You need to have the stepping stones in cleaning products and personal care products, so that people can feel comfortable doing making those changes. Because we're asking people to change how they live. Very, very, very big thing to ask. And I think that a lot of people who do environmental work and who've maybe grown up with this stuff like I have don't realize how like much you're asking of people here, And it's important, 100%. But you're also asking people to change.
Well,
So,
that's a really
I
good
think.
point, though, having that understanding that it makes for a really good transition. Because you're right, a lot of people don't want to completely and can't completely overhaul everything, whether it's in their home, in their closet, their vehicles. It's a really daunting situation. So making that slow transition, that's a really, really good point.
Yeah, and I think it's just frustrating for us in the environmental community, because we're like, that's not green enough, and it's not, and it's not. And, we need to keep pushing and need to keep talking about things. But so many people have made that first step now. So many people are much more open when they see products that are designed for them, that are available in CVS or, at the drugstore. So that's actually important, even though I think it's frustrating for those of us who want to make, larger changes. So I think that, the downside of that is that there's, just an incredible array of products. It can be hard for someone who's just stepping in to tell, how green something is, or how, non-toxic it is. And I think that there's a lot of competing information out there. At the end of the day, I think that this is a good thing, that the best you know, companies, for the most part, will probably end up winning, and the best information will rise to the surface. But we're talking about, really, this has been not even 10 years yet that this massive revolution has occurred, and the way people are thinking about not only, you know, what they put in their hair, but, like, making the big step of, like, what I put on my hair affects my health and affects the health of my water supply. That's a huge understanding for most people to make if they have not been raised with thinking that way. And so making that first light bulb understanding is really, really important. And then the next steps will come after that, I think, naturally.
Wow. Well, I let my listeners know I did my pre-recorded intro speaking about you, and I called you an eco all-star. And of course, you are, with everything that you've done, you continue to do, and you have so many wonderful things on the horizon. We've learned a lot about you. I appreciate you taking the time. Was there anything else you wanted to share with our listeners?
Nope, just keep an eye out for Eco Chick Escapes. I'm really excited. It will be debuting shortly, and there's a Facebook page for it. If you want to find it, you can just type in Eco Chick Escapes.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to look forward to an inaugural girls weekend or something as a way to launch that as well. I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, awesome. I'll definitely keep you in the loop.
Fabulous. And I, of course, I let our listeners know about your book, but how is that going for you, and where can we still find it?
It's, you know, pretty much everywhere. It's actually now available as a Nook book and on Kindle and all that stuff. So I love the idea that, you know, it is printed on recycled paper, but it can be, you know, virtual as well. And it's really, you know, meant to be just flipped through, and you can read it from any part to any part. So it's a great little book. It's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all the regular places, and in a lot of independent bookstores. I always check when I travel, and it's in most of them.
Fabulous. Well, again, listeners, please be sure to check out Starvarten and her website at ecochick.com. I'm sure that you'll be reading some of her other things on the Huffington Post and Habitat and some of these other things that we've come to look to for our green, eco-conscious, and sustainability news, updates, and fabulous things. So again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day. I know that you mentioned that you hadn't been feeling well, so I really appreciate that you took time to talk with me.
My pleasure.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of Modern Hippie Radio. This episode has been brought to you by our friends at Sea Power Body Care, 100% natural bath and body products. Find them at seedpowerbodycare.com.